Hello, and welcome back to episode 2 of the Queer Kahani Podcast, a quirky and curious podcast of bite-sized queer stories told in an interactive interview format. I'm your host, Sumu Tasib, and in the second episode, we'll be talking with my friend Beckett, who will tell us her story about coming out twice. As always, more information about this episode and the podcast is at our website, queerkahani.com, where you can find all the links we mentioned in this episode, as well as information on how to submit your own story. With that, let's start the show. Today on the podcast, we have my friend Beckin, who I've known for quite a few years and is near and dear to my heart. And she's also been super helpful in putting my book together. She was one of the early readers and reviewers, and I super appreciate you for that, Beckin. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I'm honored to be in the inaugural episode.
That's awesome. So happy to have you. So I wanted to start off, before we get into your story, could you talk a little bit about your relationship to queerness?
Yeah, it's funny, and I'm going to get into this with my story, but I feel like probably when I was first kind of realizing that, you know, I didn't have the word queer to apply to myself, when I first sort of started realizing it, that I wasn't straight and that, you know, I maybe wasn't strictly clean on the gender. At that time, probably like a binary, because maybe 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, we didn't even have the words then, I feel.
Right. I'd say that right now, what I like to refer to when I talk about, where I fall on all the spectrums is a phrase that Dan Levy's character used in Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
Where they're talking about, they're doing this metaphor for sexuality and romance and sexuality and attraction, and they're using a metaphor of wine bottles. So like, oh, do you like red wine or do you like white wine? And his character has this beautiful thing where he says, "I like the wine, not the label."
I like that.
And it's funny because when I first came out many, many, many years ago, I said, I don't understand why it should matter, like, physically, you know, how someone presents or anything. It's just like, if you're attracted to somebody, you're attracted to somebody. Like, I don't get why anything else would really matter. So I think that's like definitely how I felt about it from the first time I really started thinking about myself in that way and recognizing that part of myself. And that's kind of still just how I feel about it. Like, now I have better words. I like people, not parts, is how I say it now in a more quick way.
Yeah. And, you know, the world always tries to put labels on us and tries to make us specify. Do you find that you just avoid any kind of label or categorization altogether?
I mean, there's definitely times when it's more useful for brevity's sake. And I think a very valuable conversation I had with a friend once who had struggled for a long time with their identity, that when they were able to put words on it, it was very validating. So, you know, I would never want to take that away from somebody if they find something that really captures them and they feel is really validating to use that term. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's good. But
for you,
I'm just me, and I just like and I just want people to be themselves around me, and that's just kind of how I approach it.
That's great. I often feel the same way. So, you know, when you were telling me about your story initially, you pitched it as having to come out twice, which I just found so fascinating. It made me wonder. It made me think of so many different potential stories that could be in there in my head. And so set it up for us. Like, what was going on? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah, so the first time I came out would have been in college. And at that time, probably like the term I'm pretty sure I used was bisexual. You know, female presenting, and fell in love with a girl. Like, realized that, okay. But then wound up in a hetero relationship for, like, say, a decade. And in that decade, you know, I moved many times. I, you know, went to grad school, moved to Seattle, met you, you know. And so by that time, like, I had had so much turnover in my life, and so many people knew me as someone who was dating this straight cis white man, you know, and so made those assumptions about me as a person, you know, coming to work functions or whatever with a plus one, going to weddings with a plus one. And so when that relationship ended, I was finding myself kind of in a place in my life where certainly people who knew that, you know, I wasn't straight, like closer friends or whatever, but like especially in terms of like work or more casual acquaintances, where
Yeah.
All of a sudden was like, I got to come out again. Like, I just, it never had sort of come up, or it wasn't like something that felt like it needed to be addressed. And just trying to navigate that. And like now as an adult walking around in the world, it's like, well, who do you tell and who do you come out to? And do you just show up? I remember I just showed up at a work wedding with a woman. And I remember a lot of people being like, oh, I guess I didn't know that about her, because I just didn't know how to handle it, didn't know how to navigate it. So,
did you find it particularly difficult with people who had known you as dating a man for a long time? Did you feel it just affected you overall, that you felt like it had become part of your definition, how the world saw you?
I don't know if it's like so much that it was my definition, but it was really more like trying to figure out, well, who needs to know and how much do they need to know? At the time, you know, I don't think the intention behind this was of judgment, or, you know, people often ridicule people when they first come out, like, oh, you're going through a phase. And I definitely went through a lot of it when I would tell people that I'm attracted to a woman, and like, well, you know, every college age woman is, you know, it's just a phase, or you're just doing it for attention. Okay. And so I think I definitely got a little bit of that, because the first time I came out, I remember my dad saying, I said what I just said before. Yeah. I said to him as well, he's like, I just don't understand. If you like somebody, why does it matter what they have going on physically, what they have going on in terms of how they identify? Like, if you like a person, you like a person. And his reaction was, oh, that is so you. That is such a you thing to say. And I remember being like, I didn't think that was a compliment the way he said it, but I don't think also it was supposed to be as judgmental as it sounded.
Yeah, I feel like that could be interpreted in a very affirming way or in a very judgmental way.
Right. And to this day, I'm still not sure which it came down on. I mean, I will say when I came out to my parents the second time, you know, called them up after the relationship, my long relationship ended.
Yeah.
I was dating a woman at that time. They were just like, oh, it's so great. Hopefully we'll get to meet her. Like, so they're very loving and accepting and wonderful people.
That's good.
But I think I just always carried that a little bit inside of me of, you know, do people think I'm just trying to put on this hat, trying to like force myself into this box because I'm a liberal person and I should, or because I think it's cool. Like, I got a lot of that at various, like when the first time I came out, which made me really careful about how I introduced it the second time.
I mean, it's interesting. One of the things you're saying early on was when I asked you how you identify, like you're saying that's kind of a personal thing. You should be able to like who you like, and really not anyone's business, and it's unless it's somebody who you're interested in some way. Did you feel pressure from various aspects of your life to have to make a declaration?
I wouldn't say I felt pressure, but it's more that when you kind of fall into the defaults of what people assume relationships are, and especially when you've been in that kind of societal's default relationship for a while, it makes it a lot easier to just talk about your life in general. You know, when I was dating somebody who was also dating somebody else, and one of those relationships was ace and the other one was a nesting relationship, and you know, there was just multiple levels of different people doing their own thing, but everyone was happy and together.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, wanting to casually refer to your partner when you're, you know, talking with a coworker, right? And so it's just like walking that line of like, well, if I just was dating that dude still,
right,
I could just say like the guy I'm dating, and it's a lot quicker, right, a lot easier. And I don't know how much backstory I need to get into, and, you know, how much of it even is their business about anything. So when you can just rely on the default, it does make it easier. So it's not necessarily a pressure, but it's more just like, how much do I want to invest in defining all this for everybody in my life? And so it's kind of this like double-sided thing of you want to be authentic and be yourself, but at the same time, maybe it's not always quite the right thing to do. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it does make me think about, you know, given both the language, the level of media awareness, the level of social consciousness is so different now. There's so much awareness of queer culture in mass media now. I feel like all of our coming out stories would be very different today, you know, than they were when we actually went through them. And I'm just wondering, like, how do you feel like it would have been different if you were like a teenager, like in college now, and that was happening?
Yeah. Like I said, I was felt second time so very supported. I didn't really get a lot of what I experienced the first time, which was seemed to be a little bit of a, she's going through her rebelling against the societal norms phase. She'll be over it in a couple of years. And probably people did think that, right? I started dating a guy. Like, see, I knew that. I knew that she was just, you know, trying to be edgy by.
So this was true even of your, so even your peers, the first time you were coming out. Were
for sure.
I see.
For sure. And so, like I said, so this time around, just having gotten nothing but support or just lack of, and really any acknowledgement of it as a thing, right? Just an acknowledgement of, okay, cool. That's the person you were dating at the time or whatever.
So that's kind of cool. I mean, so you've actually had a chance to kind of come out in two different cultural contexts.
Exactly.
Given how things have been changing over that period.
Yeah, and I do wonder. I can't say I know a lot of, say, like, people. I don't talk to many people that were my age when I first came out, like right now. So I don't really know if it's permeated so much now that if I were to come out as a, you know, 18 or 19 year old college kid right now, would that just be a thing that is just a, yep, that's just a part of people, not a big deal? Or is there some of a backswing against that? Because you mentioned there's so much in media now.
Yeah.
That I do wonder if some people get it even worse than I did. Of like, you just saw it on TV,
you're
just inundated with it. You're trying to be cool. You're trying to, you know, grasp onto an identity that makes you something unique.
Right.
You know, so I don't know if it would have been different.
Yeah.
If I had come out at my age that I came out now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because I mean, like you're saying, there's two aspects that have changed. There's both the shift in culture, but there's also the shift in you and your personal confidence and growth, which is a very different context as well.
Yeah.
If you could give some advice to the little college you, and if you could say, hey, this will make things easier for your journey, like, what do you think that you would tell her?
I would tell her, first of all, that I would tell little Beckin that Leslie was going to break her heart. Oh, just absolutely break her heart. So... would get her ready for that one. But I think I would just tell her to not worry so much, even if people did think she was who she was for the wrong reasons. I would tell her just to be confident in that. Because I think probably when you're first coming out or when you're first kind of identifying, I definitely had a little bit of like, well, how do I know? Because I've never actually dated a woman. So can I even say that I'm bisexual? Like, and so I think I would just tell her, just go date Leslie and go see what happens. Like, just go be you and don't worry. People are gonna.
but you know the answer. I mean, you could tell her. Like, you could tell
her. Right, I'm saying, just don't do it. Go experience it.
Bisexual. Like, I mean, you know.
Right, but my point being that you don't have to have it all totally figured out, even if it turns out that dating a woman makes you realize, I know now it didn't, but even if it did turn out that it was a learning experience that turns out, nope, I'm straight, that's also totally fine. And just to be more confident in what I wanted to try and experience and who I was exploring and becoming.
I really like that. I think that actually says something very interesting about you, because I think even knowing the path that you're going to eventually take, like, you still want to give the younger you the joy of discovering her own journey, which
right,
I think is
because
kind of
it's amazing. The point is the validation has to be internal. The thing that I was upset about was, oh, externally people are thinking that I'm just putting on this facade. And so little Beckin still needed to get the internal, like, oh no, okay, I'm just going to do me. I'm just going to go and figure this out. So even 30-something Beckin coming back and telling her that, that's still external validation instead of finding it within herself.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I wouldn't totally tough love 19-year-old Beckin, to be clear. I wouldn't. I would give her a hug and say, you know, it's going to be okay. You're going to have a lot of really great relationships and really amazing experiences with all kinds of people. But I would want her to sort of lean into herself a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Well, so that brings me to the question of, like, you know, you've been through this journey. How do you think that it might help other people? Like, you know, like where do you see things that you think that others could draw from this that might help them with the journeys that they're going through?
Yeah, I think one of the things I can do as just a female presenting and straight presenting person is I just do try to chip away at those assumptions. So, you know, those things that made everyone kind of assume that because I was in a straight relationship for a decade, you know, I was straight. Things like making sure to include, as a female woman presenting person, including pronouns and everything. So just doing the best to really help to tear down assumptions about who people are, and then to also open up the conversations more easily for things that maybe aren't fitting into that norm.
Yeah, could you give some example? I mean, that sounds compelling. I just love to know, like, one level deeper, like, you know, like, how would you, because those I feel like those conversations can be really challenging.
Right.
And like, how do you kind of break that ice and start to show people, hey, there's more to Beckon than just what it looks like on the surface? How do you do that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, in part, I do it for people that I know that, you know, are going through, you know, transitioning or discovering things about their gender. It's very validating to have someone bring it up a little more in casual conversation that just makes the spotlight less about one person who's falling outside of that norm.
So by talking about yourself, you can kind of open the door a little bit.
Exactly.
I see.
And so, you know, that's kind of to get back to your question, that's sort of how I sort of see myself in trying to do that work. And so the advice I'd give to other people is, if you feel like you need to find the space to express who you are, seek out people who can help you do it in that kind of a way. Try and find the places and the spaces where you feel like you can start to make those little bits of inroads.
Yeah, in a way that's safe.
In a way that's safe, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to have potentially people who are listening that don't have to come out, they cis and straight, that's to try and help create those spaces then.
Mm-hmm.
So to make a point of not assuming like that people are straight and not assuming people's genders, not assuming people's pronouns,
mm-hmm.
But to create the spaces for them to share that if and when they feel appropriate and safe to do so.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, I think that a lot of us, when we were younger or starting this journey, feeling a need to express ourselves would just feel like we just needed to do it regardless of who was listening. And sometimes that was not a good idea. Even though we were cautious about what we were saying, you know, there are people to whom saying anything is not a good idea.
Right.
And to do what you're saying, which is more to kind of seek out spaces that are safe, you know, and to be able to explore talking about things there, or on the other side of things, to be that safe person that gives someone the confidence and safety to be able to actually talk about things. Well, this is wonderful, Beckon. This is such a great story, and also like such great reflections on what that's brought you and how this might help other people on their own journeys. One last question for you. I always like to ask all of my guests about if there's a particular queer site or Instagram account or charity or something that they'd like to talk about. They just feel like would be a good resource for other people to learn about.
Yeah, I think I have two, which maybe is cheating, but too bad. You can edit out one if you want. They're both people I follow on Instagram, although I'm sure they're on many other social media as well. One is Mark Kanamura, who is just a very beautiful, loving, warm human being. Instagram handle is at MKIK808. Yeah, I do have that memorized off the top of my head. And just a wonderful presence about self-acceptance and love and just beautiful joy in the world, but also acknowledgement that sometimes life sucks and building support networks, done a lot of really great work with charity projects. So that person in particular has been a lovely little source of light for me at a lot of points. So particularly if anyone is out there maybe not loving who they are at the moment or trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah.
It's a real just great little spotlight of beauty and a beautiful little light in the world. And the other account, which again is someone I follow on Instagram, I'm sure they're on other media as well, is at Patagonia, PATTIEGONIA, who is an amazing human being, who is a very vocal advocate for queer people and other minorities in the outdoor world, in the outdoor industry.
Oh, okay.
So they're just absolutely amazing because you will find them posting about doing drag at the top of a summit. They just hike in drag. They go be in drag in the wilderness, and they are an amazing outdoors person, and they love nature And they also are really about carving that space for people that aren't historically really represented in the outdoors.
Yeah, I feel like we could do a whole episode about the queer outdoors. Like that's super interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting, it's a very eye-opening, when you really start to put a lens on how not representative the outdoors industry is. Well, like most other industries in the world.
Yeah. And not just on queerness, also on race and
exactly.
age and like it is.
And a lot of ableism as well. Mm-hmm. So they're doing some really great work on trying to hold a lot of brands and industries accountable and also creating spaces for people.
That's wonderful.
So those are the two accounts. I love both of them and they bring me joy.
That's great. Thank you so much. Do you have any final words for our audience before we
go? I guess just... it's hard to be yourself, period, and it's hard to be yourself when you feel like you're not hitting into the default of what people assume or expect. Find the places, find the spaces, find the fun Instagram accounts, seek out the support that you need, and know that there are people out there that want you to be happy and fulfilled in whatever form that is for you. And I want to thank you for having me. This has been super fun. I always feel like we have amazing conversations about who we are and what it means and dive deep. And so this one got to be recorded and hopefully some other people will enjoy hearing my not so interesting story.
Well, I thought it was a very interesting story and thank you so much for coming on and sharing it with all of us. Just a reminder to everyone, all of our stories are at queerkahani.com. So please visit and check out this and all of the other episodes, which are soon to come. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.